MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
It's The Late Show Poncho with Stephen Colbert.
Folks, yesterday I had the honor to sit down with our 44th president, Barack Obama, whose new book, A Promised Land, is out now. Jim?
Well, President Obama, thank you so much for joining me today.
It is wonderful to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's good to see you.
It is good to be seen. I've been seeing you on television, but it's good to see you in person.
That's nice. And that's got to help the demo in some. How old are you? Are you 18 and 54?
I'm not the demographic you're looking for.
Sorry, it doesn't count.
It's too late.
I apologize. Doesn't count.
Michelle says hey.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good.
You know, she loves you.
Well, so. I've really enjoyed spending some time with her over the last 4 years.
I know. And,
yeah.
And she adores you. She thinks the world of you. I think you're okay.
Can we just take a moment? I want to talk. I just want to take a moment to drink you in. For just a moment, because I'm having to get used to looking at a president again. You know, I've gotten out of the habit.
I got to
warm up for Joe Biden. I don't want to pull anything when I see him take the oath of office. You got to ease me into this a little bit.
Joe's going to be great, and
I have no
Kamala's
doubt.
Going to be great,
I have
and
no doubt.
You know they're going to have big challenges ahead. But you know we've got the potential of returning to. A presidency that is actually paying attention and trying to do right by all people and not just some.
A lot of announcements of cabinet positions over the last 2 days.
People I know.
Guys you know. It's a whole lot of return to the sort of the stability and what's that word? Competency. of your 8 years, which is novel. It's as good as a vacation right now as somebody who actually wants to do the job that they're hired to do. That's an interesting idea, isn't it?
And have experience and have read about stuff and know where countries are. It's great.
So, how you been the last 4 years? I haven't seen a lot of you.
No.
And it's been kind of, I don't know if you've been paying attention, it's been kind of crazy out here. We're all a little tired. This is how I want to sit today. this is America's posture. We're a little bit like a bone fish right now. It's one of the reasons why it's nice to see you. So,
I am good. But I think that I am typical of a lot of us who are lucky enough that our jobs haven't been endangered because I was already out of a job as a consequence of COVID.
Do you have any prospects? Anything coming down the line?
I haven't had anybody in our immediate family to get sick.
That's lucky.
We don't have to worry about the bills. And, so on the one hand, we've had our girls at home. That has been a complete joy. For us, I don't know about them. And then, I think I've used this phrase before, the shambolic nature of the government response obviously has been frustrating.
Especially after you left a game plan for this very specific thing and talked about it before you left.
Yes.
What was that like to watch this response?
That's the frustration. This would have been hard for anyone. I mean, you see even people like Angela Merkel, who is herself a scientist, exemplary. But you've still seen some spikes in Germany. But let's take Canada, where the death rate is 39% ours per capita, right? That's a measure of if we had done the work that what was not rocket science, right? We're not talking about inventing vaccines. I'm glad to see the vaccines now coming on board. But preliminarily, communicating effectively, respecting the science, not undermining the leading epidemiologist in the country and saying he's an idiot. being consistent in terms of masks and social distancing, not suggesting that this is some act of oppression, but rather just a common sense thing to prevent people from getting sick. Had we just taken those steps, there is no doubt that we would have saved some lives, and ironically, the economy would be better because we would not be swinging back and forth in the ways that we have, and people would feel more confidence about making day-to-day decisions about shopping or
besides the obvious nature of it is the responsible thing to do.
Yes.
And is the economically vital thing to do. Right. Are you surprised that they did not see the political advantage
it
of looking like you cared?
It would have been good politics as well. And yes. And I think that is a measure of how detached from reality and how embedded ideological and conspiratorial thinking has become, where you're doing it even when it's to your disadvantage, right? In your original show, right? Mm-hmm. There was a you're satirizing a certain attitude, mm-hmm. but you never thought that folks would actually start believing.
I did not know I was a prophet.
Yes.
I thought I was a comedian.
You thought you were a comedian, mm-hmm. But now you couldn't make up some of the stuff that you're seeing, and it is to the detriment of the country. But as you said, it's also it runs contrary to what would have been smart politics if the Republicans wanted to maintain the White House, and that in some ways is more troubling because now it's no longer even strategic. It is. You're drinking your own Kool-Aid in a way mm-hmm. that I think is troublesome. And one of the big challenges that Joe Biden's going to have is to figure out how to puncture that information bubble that not just Republican officials, but a sizable portion of voters are in right now.
That gets you to a question that's buried deep in these pages right here, but it could be the only question I ask you. If I only had one question to ask you right now, it would be, what happens now? What the hell happens now?
Yeah.
When you have half or 70% of the Republicans, so maybe about 40% of the public think that Joe Biden won by cheating.
Yeah.
And they believe that all these fantasies being promulgated about Democratic cabals that seem to be pulling the strings in states, Democrat or Republican, all over the United States. How do you then speak to those people, even if you're someone like Joe Biden, who's capable, believes in a government doing the job to serve the people, and is empathetic to the needs and concerns of the people who don't vote for him? Because part of, and we'll get to you eventually, but part of what I think is extraordinary about what we're about to go through is that you know that Joe Biden actually does care about the people who didn't vote for him and why they didn't and what they think.
Yeah,
how does he reach those people?
Well, I think he's in a good position to make the effort. The fact that he won is indicative of the message he sent. Of wanting to unify the country. I do think people are exhausted by just this, World Wrestling Federation constant cage match. And people just want to feel as if a day passes without it being dominated by something crazy coming out of the White House.
That photo opportunity after y'all had your conversation in the Oval Office, and I don't want to spend a lot of time. I've talked about the president a lot for 4 years, and I've had my fill. But that was a chilling moment for me to watch because I perceived in that moment the dignity of the office, or rather the trappings of dignity and status that falls upon the person who holds that office in that moment. And I saw the way, or rather, I had a flash, an emotional flash of all the ways that could be abused over the next four years. Were you having a similar feeling in that moment?
Yeah, it was a concern.
And were those concerns borne out over the next 4 years?
Exceeded.
Thank you. Mr. President, we have to take a quick break, but stick around, everybody. We'll be right back with President Barack Obama.
Here's the thing about eating. We all have to do it, sometimes even a few times a day. But if you already have a lot on your plate that isn't food, like stuff to do, figuring out your meals can be stressful. By the time you get breakfast going, it could be lunchtime. And then what? Eat your breakfast for lunch? Is that allowed? Yes, you're a grown-up who can make their own choices. And whether that choice is eating breakfast for every meal or bending to society's construct of proper mealtimes, you can eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals that can be ready in as little as 2 minutes. Tailored to your schedule and weird eating habits, you have the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your cool new breakfast-only lifestyle. You can even try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus, if that's what you're into for breakfast. Or any meal. You do you. Head to factormeals.com/lateshow50 and use code lateshow50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code lateshow50 at factormeals.com/lateshow50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody, you know him from his Netflix deal, but I know him as the 44th president of the United States, Barack Obama. All right, congratulations on your new book.
Yes,
thank you. By the way, it is just, I'm sorry, this is, I just carry it with me everywhere I go. Have you read this? Because this is a good book.
It's a great book.
Great, 10 million copies, hard to beat. That's going to be very hard to beat. But you're not a competitive guy, so that's fine.
I've already waved the white flag.
Okay, good.
Come on, man.
I do want to point something out. Yes?
Any illusion that I might catch up, it turns out that now that my book is selling,
yes,
they all package it with her book. So she keeps on selling more.
Wow.
So I can't... It's hopeless.
By the way, I am enjoying...
Thank you.
A Promised Land.
Yes.
Originally, you thought it would be done in about 2 years, I think. Yes. And about 500 pages. Yeah. It's 4 years, it's 758 pages, and it's only volume one.
Yeah.
Okay, who will be finished first, you or George R.R. Martin?
For those of you who don't know the reference, Game of Thrones?
Everyone knows the reference, sir.
Do they?
More people have read his books, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Very popular.
Look, the difference is, by the time there's a TV show about this, mm-hmm. I will have finished.
In the book, yeah. You actually investigated the idea, explored the idea of running for president, even talked to some people about it before you mentioned it to your wife. First question, what? And follow up, wow. And then you say, what do you think of it? If you say no, it's no. And she says, then no. And then you keep going. You should write a book about how to get away with that. That's a bestseller. How did you get away with that? And what were you thinking?
Clearly, I was not thinking. Well, as I describe, the way that the conversation around me running for president happens, and I know that there are a lot of folks who think, this is all nonsense. He's not playing it straight. But... The friends of mine and staff will confirm this. We were firm about me not running for president because I had just been elected to the U.S. Senate. And the notion that I was somehow going to make this leap 2 years later into launching a presidential campaign did not make sense. But partly because I was, you know, the new shiny object, and you know, the press was sort of fascinated, intrigued with me as the only African American in the Senate. I'd given the speech in the Democratic National Convention. There, you get this chatter, and I keep on getting asked about it, and we're rebuffing it, et cetera. But it starts taking on a life of its own, and there comes a point at which I start having serious conversations, you know, with Harry Reid and other people who are serious leaders of the party, saying you really should think about it. And it is at that point that I do go to talk to Michelle about it. And she does, and her initial response is no. But what I said to her is we still need to think through all the different elements of it, and if at the end of that you still say no,
okay,
then it's no. And she sort of changed her mind, kind of.
No, I've read it. She does.
But what is absolutely true is, and I've never fully gotten out of the doghouse for this, is that I put her and our kids through an extraordinarily stressful, difficult sequence in deciding to run for president right after I had just gone through a tough race. And, you know, Michelle stayed angry at me about it. You know, it would flare up every so often, but she stayed mad about it through all 8 years, and there was a little carryover of an extra year and a half tail after that. And I think we've, you know, she finally sort of forgave me until this interview, in which case I think it's brought up all these bad memories. And
you're welcome.
I don't know exactly what I'm going to be facing when I get home.
You write this in the book. This, I was coming to realize, was the nature of the presidency. Sometimes your most important work involved the stuff nobody noticed. What's something nobody still hasn't noticed that you guys did? I'm sorry, I had to speed it up a little bit there for the read. We only have an hour. So go ahead.
By the way, if that was an imitation of me, that was terrible.
I will play your book back right now and show you.
It might be,
that's how slowly you read your book, sir.
It might be that slow, but it sounds so much better when I do it. Anyway.
I'll grant you that.
We'll move on.
I'll grant you that.
Here's a good one. Appliances. You didn't think about this much.
I did not.
Over the course of my presidency, because of new rules for energy-efficient appliances, taking millions of metric tons of greenhouse gases out of the atmosphere, the equivalent of taking 20 million automobiles off the road annually, because, you know, your fridge runs a little bit better, or your washer dryer. And I would include, by the way, you know, preparations on things like pandemic, if you were actually paying attention to it. You know, that's the kind of stuff that, if you're doing it right, people don't notice. But if you screw up, then it's bad.
Let's take another quick break. We'll be right back with more President Barack Obama.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, wherever you get your podcasts. Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, wherever you get your podcasts.
Mr. President, you're famous for your competitiveness. Would you like to take me on in a game of waste basketball?
Absolutely.
Okay, let's hit some baskets.
Now,
we're done.
Let me ask you a question. Did he practice a lot on this whole waste basket basketball idea?
Oh.
Has he been practicing for like all month?
No. I would you like to take some practice shots first? Would you like to take some practice shots?
I don't need practice shots. Against you?
All right. Basket's right over there. Inside your thing over here.
I already have mine.
You already have yours right there. There are 10 paper balls. Yours are yellow legal pad, which is, I believe, how you wrote this book.
Yeah. And what are yours?
I got blue script paper.
How come yours seem like crumpled up a little bit more?
Because I came in and I pre-squeezed them.
Did you practice, but like, look at this one. Look at this one compared to yours. That's all.
Take a moment. Take a moment.
Man.
You want to trade? Do you want to trade balls?
No, but I just think as a matter of principle, the fact that you didn't.
So here it is. It's just 10.
Are we timing this, or are you just going to go 10 and then am I going to go 10?
We can shoot at the same time if you want.
I just don't trust you. All right, come on, let's go.
Ready? Do you want to make it interesting? If I win, you have to mention me in your next book.
And what if I win?
What do you want?
Nobody's going to read your book anyway, so it doesn't matter. I'm not going to lose.
How about
right.
this? How about I'll make a donation to your library.
That is worth.
All right.
Is this an equal distance, by the way?
They measured it out.
All right.
Yeah.
Ready?
Yep.
We're terrible. Oh, that's a good
pressure's
shot.
Pressure's on. Oh, you got a. Oh no.
Oh, man.
It's what I do. It's what I do.
Hold on. It's not finished yet. How many more you got?
I got 5 more over here.
Yeah? Well,
yeah.
I got to make at least these last 3. I'm spending all my time crumpling my balls here. All right. Oh, that was so close. Colbert, I'm getting crushed. Oh, man. Oh. Oh. Woo! I didn't even hit one. How am I going to live this down? Hold on a second. I got one more. I got to
check.
This
is for everything.
Oh.
You let me win.
No. Look at me. All right.
That made this my favorite interview of all time.
Yeah, yeah. I've lost my swag on Stephen Colbert.
Really? Very last question. It's not even a question, it's just a statement. Thank you for being president.
This has been The Late Show Poncho with Stephen Colbert. We'll be dropping classic bits and celebrity interviews 7 days a week while the show goes on hiatus for summer break. The Late Show will be back on July 18th with all new episodes. If you're enjoying The Late Show Poncho, leave us a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Watch The Late Show with Stephen Colbert weeknights at 11:35, 10:35 Central on CBS and Paramount Plus. For more exclusive Late Show content, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and subscribe to The Late Show on YouTube.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.